Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor McIntosh, and welcome again to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. But just before we get started with our teaching, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life unto all godliness and reverence." I am encouraging all our prayer warriors and intercessors to continue to pray for world peace, especially for the country of Ukraine, that there will be no more death or destruction in Ukraine. Also pray for President Putin, that God will reveal to him his error and that he will stop this useless onslaught by the Russian army. Amen. I just wanted to encourage you in that area. Now, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we will continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read our foundational scripture that we have been using for this particular teaching on faith. A very familiar scripture that we all should know. And so we're going to read it. That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, we have learned from the Word of God that in order to please him, you must have faith. And we are talking about the God kind of faith, not natural faith. Our lifestyle as born again believers is to live our lives by faith. Please turn to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 4. And it says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just of those that have been declared righteous shall live by faith." Now, please go to Romans chapter 1, the book of Romans chapter 1. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now ask the question, we live 24 hours a day, am I correct? We live 7 days a week, am I correct? And we live 365 days a year, am I correct? So your lifestyle, if you are a believer and a follower of Christ, your lifestyle should reflect the God kind of faith. Faith is not a spiritual spare tire to use whenever you have an emergency. It is a way of life. Many Christians have a relationship with God, but many base their decisions on emotions, feelings, or their intellect. You must learn the difference between faith and sense knowledge. Let me repeat that. You must learn the difference between faith and sense knowledge. An enlightened believer needs to understand faith's waiting period, that time between prayer and manifestations. Let me give you an example. In our personal lives, Dr. Michelle and myself. When my wife, Dr. Michelle, was working in the public sector or the private sector, she used to work for Transamerica Assurance Company. She came home and the company was laying off, and she was affected by this particular layoff. So she became a full-time housewife, and she was enjoying doing the things around the house, doing gardening work, the things that she wanted to do for a long period of time, but just didn't have the time because she worked. But if she ever wanted to go back to work, she had decided that she would like to work for the church. And at the time, we were members of Crenshaw Christian Center. And so it was in 1991 when she and I, we got together and we prayed the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement, for her desire was to work at the church. She didn't want to work any other place. Now, we're talking about there's a time period between your prayer and then the manifestation of that prayer. And so after we prayed, Michelle just kept thanking the Father. Thank you, Father. I believe that I have the job. And it wasn't until 1998 that the manifestation of our prayers were answered and she began working for the church. But during this period, this 7-year period, Dr. Michelle never wavered on her faith. She knew she had the job because we had prayed. She affirmed her faith by thanking the Father for the job, saying, Father, I thank you. I believe that I received that job. So we must understand as Christians, there is a time between your prayer and the manifestation of your prayer. 7 years from the first time she prayed until the manifestation of the job. That was the waiting period of faith. Now go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we will read verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you see, you must stand. After you've done all, after you prayed, after you've done all your fellowshipping with the Lord, then you stand on the word. You stand until the manifestation of what you prayed for has come to manifestation. Amen. You see, Dr. Michelle had already received the job by faith, and it was in the spirit realm, And she just, by her faith and stand on God's promises, brought it into the natural realm by standing on Mark 11:24. And that says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And that is exactly what Dr. Michelle did. She believed that she received them, and she stood on her faith. Christians, you must have patience. God is not like the world. He's not a microwave, and he's not moved by your tears. God is moved by faith. Amen. Now, our last time together, we had just finished discussing faith for salvation. Faith for salvation. And faith for salvation comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. That's Ephesians chapter 2. And we will read verse number 8. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Salvation is a gift. The grace of God is the source of salvation. Faith is the channel, not the cause. God alone saves, no one else. Salvation never originates in the efforts of people. It always arises out of the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. Truly, salvation is from the Lord. Please go to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. The book of Jonah, chapter 2. And we will read verse number 9. And it says, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Amen. We are saved by grace through faith. Now, another thing that I believe that is important as a believer, and especially a new Christian, is that faith requires time to grow. Faith requires time to grow. Please go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to see an event in the Bible. I believe where a woman's faith grew, but we're going to see the effects of her faith in her life. Now, I'm going to be reading this particular verse from a different version or translation of the Bible. It's going to be coming from the New Testament in Modern Speech Bible by Richard Francis Weymouth. Richard Francis Weymouth. So Matthew 9, verse 20. And it says, "But a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhage came from behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak. For she said to herself, 'If I but touch his cloak, I shall be cured.'" Now, why on earth would this woman come up to Jesus and say, "If I may touch his cloak, I will be cured"? Now, notice the verse did not say she came and touched him. Did you see that? She just touched his clothes. Now, she had to have a revelation regarding something. She just wouldn't come up and touch his clothes on a humbug. Where did she get it? Where did she get this information? Where did she get this revelation? Where if she can come up and just touch his clothes, that she will be made well. Probably by what she heard, because faith comes by hearing. I'm sure she had heard people talking about this man and the fact that she could just touch his clothes. Because remember, at that time, Jesus was saturated with all the healing power. You could have gotten healed from him yourself. Now let's look at the latter part of verse 21. She said, "For she said to herself, if I but touch his cloth, I shall be cured." For her to touch his garment, she had to, number one, believe what she heard. She had to believe it. Because faith comes by hearing. But then she had to do it. She not only believed what she heard, but she had to do what she believed. What she believed was true, but it would not have affected her life if she had not done it. Believing is not just changing the situation. Notice the change in this lady's life did not take place until she actually acted on what she believed. Then the change came in her life. Now, verse number 22 says, "And Jesus turned and saw her and said, take courage, daughter, your faith has cured you." Now take notice to this. He said, "Take courage, daughter, your faith has cured you." And the woman was restored to health that same moment. What was that woman's faith? Her faith was touching him, which was an action. Now, notice something that's very interesting also in this interaction with Jesus. Jesus never told the woman, "Take courage, daughter, I have cured you." Did you get that? He didn't say he cured her. He said, "Your faith has cured you." Faith is acting on what you believe. And what we believe as Christians is the word of God. Amen. So it was her action. She believed what she heard. She was motivated by what she heard and by the results that other people have gotten, that she moved on that and she got cured. Amen. Her faith was to touch him, which was an action. She did not just sit on the side of the road and believe if she could get close to him, Jesus, she would get healed. No. She just didn't wait around. She did something. She took action. Are you guys following what I'm saying here? She just didn't believe it. She took action. This woman acted on what she believed. It was absolutely true what she said in verse number 21. It said, "For she said to herself, if I but touch his cloth, I shall be cured." Now that we have read the complete story, we know from the story that it was true. But guess what? It was just as true before she touched him as it was after she touched him. It was not true because she touched him. It was true even before she touched Jesus. Amen. However, It was the touching of Jesus based on what she believed that gave her personally the benefits of what she believed. If she had just believed it, it would have been true. It would have not changed her circumstances. Can you guys see that? If she had just believed that, she took action. She believed it and she took action. That's what affected her life, or the change of circumstances in her life. This is so important to understand. And that is where people are missing it all over the world. They are missing it. And what's so tragic is that some of them will act like they know it and do not want to receive any instructions. I can see in their lives because they don't have any results in their lives. It's the same old circumstances in their lives. Faith will produce results. Faith will produce results. Over time, faith will produce results. And so what happens, they get caught up in the euphoria of all the expectations of what faith can produce. And yet, they still do not understand. They make an attempt to exercise their faith. They do not see the immediate results, so they give up. But you have to stay with it. You just can't give up on God. God is not a person that you give up on. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do. You remember the word says, his word will not return to us void. Amen. So you have to stand on the word. It is like a marriage, you can say. You cannot judge the validity of a marriage on the first 4 or 5 years of your marriage. And that is where many people lose the whole thing. It takes time to grow together. You are just getting to know that person. After about 5 years, you are finally finding out how to spell their name correctly. It takes time to learn one another. Many people throw up their hands because they have few encounters that are not pleasant. They figure that it's all over. I don't love her anymore. She doesn't love me anymore. They just don't give it time. Marriage takes time. Anything of value takes time. And so it is with the principles of faith. It produces results over time. It is not an instant panacea for anything. It is not a ripcord that you will pull to bail you out of some problems. It is not an Aladdin's lamp that you can stroke and say, genie, genie, come out and give me a new yacht or a new car. It is not that. It does not work that way. You have to stay with it. You have to make a commitment. And you have to commit yourself to the point of burning all the bridges down behind you. And many of you have not done that. You are just trying faith as a gimmick. You want to see if it's going to work. Right there is doubt. You're just going to see if it's going to work. And that is what is already crippling you. You have to be completely sold out. You have to be absolutely, unequivocally convinced that faith is working. And remember, we have an adversary. You have an enemy, and he is going to stand in the road of your life and resist you every step of the way. You have to fight your way through. You have to give it everything you have if you want to win. You have to stay with it until it produces results. Stay with it until it works. And in the process, you will be criticized, falsely accused, and misunderstood, even by your family members. But you have to be convinced. I am absolutely, positively convinced. I did not get convinced after walking in it for almost 20 years that my wife and I have been doing it. I was convinced on the very first day I found out about it. And so you have to be that way. You cannot let Satan come with you with any thought, ideas, or suggestions that will cause you to give up. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time, but please return with us next week where we continue our teaching on the importance of faith. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.